Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Welcome to Truck Talk with Rob and Ben. We are not doing the Prospects Power Hour. This is why I don't do intros, people. It is Robbie Baseball and Benjamin Faith. Find him at Big Bentle Ben on the socials. And Ben, tonight we are talking DSL, complex standouts, what have you. But before then, we're going to talk about a lot of other fun prospecty things like debuts and promotions. But before we get into that, how's life treating you these days?
Well, the paper's been purchased. We met our owners last week. They took us out. I got to have a steak dinner on their dime, which is always a nice thing. We put out our first two printed papers again. Last week. So our newspaper is back in business and running. We're going to be, there's changes and those are always a pain in the butt. And and this deal came together way faster than it probably should have. So there's all sorts of little things, like we don't have access to email right now.
Not necessary.
Little things like, very necessary in the news business, especially, but it's, little things like that right now are kind of they're kind of a pain in the butt, but it's one of those where it's going to be just fine. It's just growing pains and adjustments and things like that. But I think this is going to be a good fit long term. So
yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'm very glad to hear that.
Hey,
and
there
if
you go.
The audio would play. So would the audience. There we go. I didn't hear that on my end for some reason, so I won't touch any more of those buttons. For fear of messing it up. So anyway, you can always join us on our chat in YouTube, which we prefer. Like, comment, share, subscribe, etc. You can also queue in on the X and True Social, where you can always find Michael Govier.
And on your OnlyFans.
And on my OnlyFans. It should be only fouls, like only foul balls. That would be a better.
Yeah, that's
also, you can make that into a sexual thing pretty quick. Only foul balls.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. This is getting into like Anthony Weiner stuff here. I happened to listen to a doc on him today. What a guy. Anyway, well, we may as well jump right in. I don't have a pen or pencil down here, Ben, so I'm not even going to have timestamps to give to our Lord and Savior, Michael Govier, when this is all done. So. I'll have to beg for forgiveness.
Are you telling me I need to do this?
No, I'm not putting you on the spot. You don't need to do it. I just realized for like the fourth time when I went upstairs the last time we recorded, I brought all my stuff up with me.
Oh, that's
and
right.
I just brought
you
the tech
in the dungeon.
Down. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I took and that's how all the spider webs got here. I was talking to Ben before about how I walked through many, many spider webs tonight and then found even more on my way back down with the beers. Anyway, Ben. Let's get into MLB debuts or debuts, as people call them. Cincinnati's got boys, Pittsburgh, Boston, Philly. What's the one that you were kind of most interested in or surprised?
Well, I mean, if you want to get into most surprised based on the year he's had, Carson Williams would be that guy. Offensively, I've tuned in because I've seen the numbers. And so I've tuned into a few games. And he is hunting so hard to put up numbers that he is swinging at everything and anything, at least in the games I've watched. Now, he has still put up a decent walk rate. He has still put up power. He has still put up speed. But he's also had a horrific contact rate this year. And most of it is not because of his BABIP or anything like that. It's just that he is swinging at crap pitches and willing to expand the zone, willing to do a lot of that stuff. This guy, if he would hold himself and learn good plate discipline. He has the raw power to be a 25 plus home run guy. And this is an elite defensive shortstop. So he's not moving off shortstop. And a 25 home run shortstop would be worth it every day of the week. But if you got to deal with a 200 batting average for that, that gets to be a little questionable. So that's the one that surprised me. It's about time Bubba Chandler came up. Just what the heck? Come on, Pittsburgh. But
yeah, it's not like they're trying to save already. I was going to say, it's not like they were trying to save their season, but they put him in the bullpen, I guess, to get some saves.
Well, but this was like a 4-inning save or a 3-inning save. So it was a multi-inning save that he ended up getting the other night. But still, what the heck? I'm gonna do this because otherwise you're going to have to say this name, and that's just not pleasant. But Justinson Garcia.
I was just going to say the password and leave it at that. But
password. Okay. There you go. with Boston, a lot of folks are very excited about this. And quite frankly, I think if you really need power, this is a good guy to grab. But I'm really worried that this is going to be a lot of power and nothing else. He has got the raw ability to do more, and he has shown more at times. But if you listen to last week's show with our prospect savant guy, with Duke Hill, some of the stuff on Garcia's sliders just don't look great. Like there's very obviously he's going out of the zone for stuff, and he's missing in the zone too. So, I mean, there's some stuff to be concerned about as he comes up to the pros, and this could be a bumpy adjustment, but the raw talent is such that once he gets up, he's going to be that six hole hitter that gives you 30 home runs. You're Adam Duvall type, you know, as far as a hitter is concerned.
Yeah.
And that guy plays, you know, that guy's going to definitely play. But, and then last but not least, the best nickname that came up, 6'6", 275 pound reliever, Zach Maxwell, whose nickname is Big Sugar, and struck out five in two innings in his debut. So had a real nice debut, but, and he looks every bit of 275. So, I mean, he's a big boy on the mound and brings it 100 plus. He averaged 100 miles an hour on his fastball in that outing, had a 95 mile an hour cutter and an 88 mile an hour slider. So this is a guy who's coming, you know, hard he doesn't deceive with the size. He doesn't get up there, be a huge guy and throw 88. For a fastball, he throws 88 for his slider. So, but those are the ones that I picked out. Any of these guys kind of stick out to you that you were looking to
pick
up?
I thought it was interesting that Parker Mezick came up.
And I know Govier loves him, so we don't want to upset the boss.
Okay, so. I'm going to read between the lines on that one, and that'll be it for me. The rest of the guys. Nolan Hoffman, sure, relief pitcher for Cincinnati. Will Banfield, catcher. I already lost interest. Cincinnati as the team is fun. And then Joel Ruggiero, relief pitcher. Pardon me?
Banfield, I think that's his third team.
He's moved around a bit this year. Yeah.
He was a high school stud, like a first round high school catcher, which don't ever draft a high school catcher.
Yes, because what a terrible sentence for fantasy. For just the player, yeah. I guess, at that point.
Yeah.
And then the last guy was Drew Summers with Detroit, relief pitcher or left-handed pitcher. So that's nothing overwhelming. I mean, a good group, but I just mean as far as unmentioned players prior to my go there. So what about the MILB promotions? I am, in fact, going to keep time notes on my cell phone just because I don't want to lose my job volunteering to do this and take heat on the internet. So the one that I was interested in was the recently traded Boston Bateman, second round pick last year for San Diego, high school pitcher. moved to Baltimore, and they said, yeah, we're going to move you up a level. And a lot of that kind of stuff has to do with what we've been talking about over the last few weeks or month, Ben, which is players are going to sign. They're going to need to be assigned. And there are other players who are already signed who will need to move. Yep. And some of them will be earned and some of them will be not. Well, in Bateman's case, it's a little mix of both, where he's in a new organization and they've got some fresh blood down at A-ball. So they're moving him up, which I find that to be good. I did see Hedbert Perez to AA. You've got that on the list. I remember how excited everybody was about Hedbert Perez.
He was as we get into talking gem. GSL prospects.
Yeah, he's an excellent name for that, because he was one of those like, oh my God, have you seen this guy that Milwaukee got? And that's not to crap on Milwaukee as far as like hyping guys that don't work out. Like, yeah,
they usually have a handful of them that come out of DSL that you're like, you should pay attention. But yeah,
people were all over that. He's now in AA. So, but yeah, I don't know anything here about Josh Adam Zwinski, second baseman for Milwaukee, up to high. Was this a last year, a 2024 draft pick? Or is he?
I think so. And he was with all those, like, kind of the studs at Carolina to start the year.
Mm-hmm.
Really a contact oriented second baseman, probably a guy that's going to be a lot of doubles. So fantasy wise, probably going to be in quote unquote empty average for fantasy, but he has doubles power. So, I mean, for a really real baseball team, it's not empty at all.
He's a back third type hitter if he's in an MLB lineup, then 7-9. Yeah.
But a very, very steady glove, not a guy that's going to likely win a gold glove. This is a guy who 5 years from now, we're going to be watching him at the major league level and just kind of go, geez, we kind of missed this guy on the way up. But just that kind of a, and he's, like I said, he's probably not going to be anything once he gets there, but that's okay. Josh Hartle is a guy I loved coming into the draft last year, and he had a really crappy year with Wake Forest. He basically went through Steve Howe, pick your pitcher that, that forgot how to throw a Rick Ankiel, forgot how to throw the ball over home plate, went kind of through a little bit of that last year, and didn't get it all put together enough in the college season to warrant it. I mean, this is a guy who was in discussions for the top overall pick coming into the year and then dropped to the point, I think he was a third round pick or something like that, but by Pittsburgh, and then was acquired in the deal that sent Horowitz over to Pittsburgh.
Right.
And now he's up to AA, and they've kind of uncorked about another tick or two in his velocity, like Cleveland tends to do, is take a guy who leads with his off speed and turn him into a viable pitcher. So he's going to be a guy to keep an eye on. The one who you brought up, the doesn't really deserve to be there sort of guy. Mm-hmm. A guy who we've had some discussions on here before, Najir Mule, with Chicago. He's a pitcher that they drafted and got himself into a lot of trouble because he was not a good boy.
Was he being a donkey? He's normally a mule. Okay.
Yeah. I think he has a 6 ERA and he is heading up to high A. And that's almost entirely because they need to bring up some guys into A ball. And so he's getting up into the Midwest League to finish out the year. Other guys on here, there's a lot of names that got bumped up. Daniel Egan is one to keep an eye on. Drafted last year. Now he's up to AA. Was kind of a fourth or fifth round pick. So a little off the board for most. But he's showing really good stuff. So just kind of keep an eye on him. And other than that, there's a lot of guys that people might know the name. Caden Scarborough has a really big fan base out there with the Rangers. He's a pitcher. Not sure if he's going to ever be a monstrous prospect or not. I have some doubts, but the raw stuff is pretty darn good.
Yeah, so other names, Ryan Jackson. What else we got? Sammy Siani. Oh, man, I remember that for a minute. A hot minute. Dylan
Head, another hot
Will Schromberg. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, Dylan Head had his moment. He's now up to high A. Who else haven't we mentioned here? Jared Lyons. We talked about the mule who's acting like a donkey. Ben Ryan Kuderna. Jackson. Yeah. Brayden Karpathios. Definitely Greek.
Which is a great name.
Yep. Yeah. Double A now. This is a San Diego prospect. And then Connor Eaton, a left-handed pitcher with Colorado. Always terrible. I'm going to look at – and not him being terrible. Always terrible to hear – left-handed pitcher and then Colorado. Anything and then Colorado. If it starts with pitcher, it's unfortunate. They had was a JB Middleton was one of the guys they picked in this year's draft, and I had him on. I'm currently doing like a prospect draft. It's predominantly first year players that get picked, but anybody who wasn't picked in previous year's draft is available. Ben, you jumped into this draft last year with us when we had an owner up and quit, and you drafted this with me. Anyway, he, JB Middleton, I was checking to see where would he fall because I was genuinely curious.
Yeah.
Second round talent that if he went to any other team would have been given a lot of the like sleeper, whatever that you see.
Yeah.
And I think he ended up going, where are we here now? We're in the eighth round, but we've had 1, 2, 3 type comp rounds. So really we're around the 170 or so mark here. And I think he went in the 130 mark. So people just don't want to roster the rocky pitchers, and I understand, and we know why. There's good reason why. Even their top first round dudes are not able to make it work.
I mean, but I was gonna say if anyone can make it work skill wise, Chase Dolander was that guy. And look at what his year has been. I mean, so I get it. I understand why. It's just a bummer for him because he's actually. He's going up to Double A, which is kind of their most
that's Hartford
average normal park. And he's put up something like a, if I remember off the top of my head, like a 2.8 ERA in their high A park, which is a pretty homer friendly park. So to be able to do that is a good sign. But I started looking deeper into it, and this is a guy who's going to likely get eaten alive once he gets up to Colorado because it's a lot of fly balls.
You see what you did there? You said he's going to get eaten alive. I think everyone listening caught that, and I'm sure you. If not, I've helped to point out. Anyway, Ben, you got on here that there are some full season debuts for multiple high school drafted players, referring, of course, to the fact that the most recent draft, we've now had high schoolers get assigned. I wanted to ask you about a guy from the Cubbies that I'm going to have to grab his name quickly. College hitter, because I have been starting to scout these guys for not just the draft I'm currently doing, but the off season and this very podcast for some things to talk about. But who are some of these guys who signed and have now been assigned?
So a number of them went to Complex for just a hot minute, or were in what's called the Tricky League, which is kind of it's not a stat kept league. It's for recent draft picks and usually recent high school draft picks. Mm-hmm. And you play out it's kind of what used to be fall instructionals, but they started earlier now because they decided to shut down Complex early, which is baseball. But this week, I believe last week or the week before, Ethan Holliday got assigned. And then this week, the big news was that Eli Willits, the number one overall pick to the Nationals, got assigned. And not just that, but had 3 hits in his debut. So had a really nice first game. But there are some, and the Braves top pick, I can't remember his name off the top of my head for some reason. But anyway,
the Braves high school. Or something like that?
But a high school, he was a high school shortstop, and he got assigned to Augusta. I mean, there's a number of those guys who are getting assigned out to low A ball just so they can get some reps before the end of the year. That's kind of what you're seeing. But man, Willits looked the part for so far, and that's what you want to see. It's good to have that kind of that good start to a career, but I can't say that I've noticed any high school arms that are getting assigned out. I have not seen that.
Right. Yeah.
That it's like clicked in my brain anyway.
That's kind of to be expected. You know, yeah, they don't want those recorded. I'm going to really quickly rhyme off the top 10 from this fantasy draft that I'm in, simply so anyone out there listening can get a vague idea of kind of the 1 month removed from the draft, how fantasy owners are thinking. And this is a very highly competitive league that I am in. This is a 30-team league, and this draft could be up to 20 rounds plus the comp round. So there's a lot of research that guys do in here. But Ethan Holliday went 1-1. Cade Anderson of Seattle went second. Seth Hernandez of Pittsburgh, the high school pitcher, went third. Liam Doyle went fourth, which I thought was a little interesting. Willits went fifth. Avi Arquette of Miami went sixth. Jamie Arnold went seventh to the Athletic, or from the Athletics. JoJo Parker of Toronto went eighth. Ike Irish of Baltimore went ninth, which for a catcher is interesting, but there is a lot of outfield potential with him, plus the fact he's a pure hitter. And then 10th was Gavin Fien with the Rangers, who was their 12th overall pick. The 11th guy was Cam Schlittler, whatever, with the Yankees, because he was available because you could pick anybody in that thing. And then it goes to a bunch of other dudes. That's something to talk about in the offseason. I always like to collect the stats from these guys, where they get picked, and then I create an ADP through various drafts. Some people give me their draft lifts, and I do it. So if you're out there listening and you have a first-year player draft at some point, I don't want the mocks. I want the ones that count, because mock drafts, people take chances, and people like to just write stories or talk about it on a podcast. I want real, true blue stats where people are putting their money where their mouth is with these picks, because it's interesting to see how many rounds before people genuinely don't know. My cue at this moment in time is still, it's 69 deep. That's okay. And we're in the eighth round right now of what will end up being 23 rounds. But as I mentioned, some of those rounds are comp rounds for free agents that got signed, blah, blah, blah. But for people that are out there getting their thrills, the guy I wanted to ask you about is somebody I did pick up in this league who was the Cubs pick. I think he was their second round or late first. Kane Kepley. Let me check here. Where was he? He was the second round pick for them this year. University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill guy. I looked at him and I just couldn't shake the potential of a lot of spray hits, you know, not a ton of like triples, doubles, triples, but like just a solid hitter. And he transferred over from where was it? Liberty last year? Liberty something else. I don't know. He had two schools under his thing last year. One was Cape Cod, where he was okay. OBP guy, which I'm always interested in. Mm-hmm. But 2025, 44 walks, 22 strikeouts in 234 at bats. I'm interested in a guy like that. I think of a Stephen Kwan. I think of like, obviously not Juan Soto, but Juan Soto like patience to have a 2-to-1 walk to strikeout ratio, and probably crappy pitchers who can't throw strikes. But he's in A ball. He's batting .387 in 62 at bats. He's hit a home run, of which he only hit three for the year. And the 62 at bats to me, Ben, is really interesting. Three triples also. He had seven triples this year. Is this just like hot start and it's not going to pan out? Or could Kane Kepley be possibly a fantasy sleeper? Outfielder, second round pickups, 5'8", 180. Left.
He fits a lot of what we just discussed with the whole likely to be more hit and could potentially have, like we were just talking about with Adam Zuski, that he could be a guy with a lot of extra base hits, but it might not be the extra base hits you want in fantasy. But I would say this is going to be a guy like whose stat line to me ends up a lot like a Stephen Kwan.
I've got a scarier name out there because I just wanted to say it to everybody. Nick Madrigal is another name that I was putting with him, which was super sad. And of course, Madrigal didn't get to have his shot this year with the Mets. I think there's
more power.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Those are my two comps.
There's more gap power. I don't know that he's ever going to knock it over the fence very often, but there's a lot of gap power there that, like I said, Kwan took a big step forward in home runs this year, but before that, you're talking like a maybe double-digit home run, but a lot of extra bases, doesn't strike out much, a lot of good contact. I think that's kind of the profile you are looking at here. I've heard and seen a lot of What's that?
I was also had 45 stolen bases in college
yeah.
and has 11 already in the pros. Now he does get caught, been caught three times, but
yep.
also having 16 stolen bases and 10 Ks. He just seems like, to me, he might be an underappreciated guy, but I also am aware that I was looking for a really interesting contact bat in a spot where I had already taken my San Diego pitcher. I got Schoolcraft. Is that what's that? Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I got him first. This was, and then my comp round pick, I took Zach Root of the Dodgers, and then my third round pick, because he was still, it was really the, truly the second round, but we were about 70 ish picks in was when I picked up my boy, and you know, life has been great ever since.
Here's an interesting guy that I could maybe throw a comp on, but folks are going to get crazy because of the rest of his career. But early Johnny Damon,
when
Damon was a you know,
Moneyball Damon.
No,
like Moneyball Damon.
Kansas City. Well, actually, yeah, he did play a year with them, didn't he? When he was Moneyball, but. But it,
that's how the movie kicks off, is Johnny Damon backstabbing, whatever the hell happened.
But he has an eight to 10 home run guy, lots and lots of speed, but more than anything, hell of a defender, but with a noodle arm, like can get to absolutely everything. Really, really good instincts, but you don't want him having to try and throw out that runner then afterwards. And that's kind of where Kipley fits in. But because that fielding is so good, he's going to have a lot of leeway as he moves up. Like because they just want to keep him out there because of the glove, so he's going to get plenty of chances because of that.
Yeah, I honestly wanted to touch on it because I haven't seen or heard many people discussing him specifically. And of course, because I drafted him, I'm in. One of the other guys, I don't know if you had mentioned. Did you mention that Dean Curley got assigned? He's college bat. Well, you were talking about high school guys. You were talking the high school. So anyway, he's somebody that I thought was interesting. Cleveland second round pick. Not typically I'd be looking for their high school pitcher at this point in time. But in this particular draft, I went with Curley. This was my fun thing in this round, Ben. I picked Curley and Turley in near back to back picks. Turley, of course, is. Yeah, it worked together for me. Turley is the Athletics' future outfielder, Gavin Turley, who's seen as somewhat of a potential power bat, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, back to regular old show. We got the full season debuts. We did a little prospect talk from some of the draft guys. We had Scout Roy Clark, who's also an executive from Braves and Royals, pass away. Ben, your thoughts?
Well, I was very, very lucky in that I had a chance because I wrote up something about a Braves player who Clark had originally scouted, and he sent me a note, which was really cool because at that time he was with the Royals. And we just kind of got talking about scouting and talking about baseball. And this was all of like four emails that we exchanged back and forth. But what was really neat to me is he, within that, really emphasized you can scout a fastball, you can scout a, you know, a home run swing, he says, but more than anything, you want to find the elite people. And I really thought it was telling in one of his multiple places have written up really nice things about him recently. One of them pointed out that in 2020, there were four of the guys that he had scouted for the Braves and signed were up for the Roberto Clemente Award, and Adam Wainwright was the one who won it. And that's really a sign of just the type of people that he really recruited hard, that he wanted. He really pushed hard for the Braves to go after certain guys because he knew they were good people. They were going to be good citizens, and they were, you know, if they didn't turn out as baseball players, they weren't going to cause damage to the organization on the way out. And that's something he really pressed upon me, is that, you know, because one of the things being in middle of nowhere, South Dakota, that I got into him is, you know, hey, I get I might have missed this or this or this in my evaluation. How can I improve that on watching video? And that was kind of where he went in with this is, you know, well, you can see a lot of things on video. One of the things you're not going to see is who that person is and getting a chance to talk to him and talk to his mom and talk to his sister and find out from the principal that, you know, this is the kid that mentors two other kids and that has struggled or, you know, stuff like that, that are just, says that's the little stuff that you're not going to get on the, on watching someone on video. And I was like, oh, well, that's really, that's a great insight. So.
Yeah. Very well. Unfortunate to lose that man, but glad that you got to have that interaction with him in a positive way. Everybody's looking for positive interactions with me, Ben. And the only way I can give it to him is through the Jesus Take the Wheel pick. And that is how you bridge the gap. So this week we are going with Casey's Ryan Bergert. I'm going to say that's it. Bergert, if you want to go with Francaise. So he is making his way in the world today, and it takes everything he's got. He's pitched 58 innings this year, 56 strikeouts, a 1.09 whip with a 2.49 ERA. So, Rob, why are you talking about him? There's no way he's available. Ha ha, he is 22% rostered in Yahoo. I think because of where we are in the season, he's just being forgotten. So perhaps you are in a shallow league where he's available. At this point in time, I'd like to think you can't possibly make a trade in fantasy as we are in the final week of August. And that's why this can be the final Jesus Take the Wheel pick of this year, because once we hit September, we're either in playoffs and some leagues freeze it, or you are in Roto where your leagues are, you know, half the guys are probably not active and weren't 5 weeks ago. But here you go. Ryan Bergert, he's looking good last month. 26 Ks, 26 and a third innings pitch, 2.73, but no wins for the young man. Yeah. And I think that that could, you know, could be changing. 5 2/3, 5 1/3, 5 2/3, 5 2/3. Bad luck. He might be one of those guys who the Royals just aren't playing good for when he's out there. I didn't dive that deep into the offensive side, but I love the pitching side, and Bergert's my boy. Sorry, Ben, what were you going
to say? Bergert was available in my TGFBI league, and I have been pitching Aaron Civale and said that I had had enough of that crap. And so I was going to drop him for who I could find. And based on how he's been pitching and matchups the rest of the way, Jason Alexander was my top guy that I wanted to get. So I had him at $9, and I had Bergert at $8. And mind you, this is out of $1,000 fab, and I still had like $300 left. So I was like, well, I could probably bid more, but nobody, I got Alexander. Nobody bid on Bergert. I was really surprised that not a soul. And this is in a league, Shigano. Tomiyaku Shigano went for 14. Parker Messick went for 27. Shane Bieber went for 49.
Oh, wow. That, and I mean, that could be a heck of a deal.
Which it could be, but nobody picks up Bergert when there's guys, you know, and they're paying that roster much for spots, those guys.
Right? Because again, it's a real thing. Half of all of our fantasy leagues, you know, the guys stop paying attention, they go away. And then other people also say, well, I wasn't really competitive, so I didn't want to bother picking up players or doing this and doing that. I've heard people talk about a Ty who I did dingers with. He would say it was one of those like kind of gentleman thing where he wouldn't go out of his way to blow any remaining fab on the hot new ticket if he didn't think it was going to make a positive impact to like get him in the money. So he would, you know, not necessarily step aside, but he wouldn't be placing and big bids. But maybe the other guys don't have interest.
That's why I didn't bid on Samuel Balsalo in this league.
Would you have had to sign him to an extension?
No. This is TGFBI, so yeah. No, I wouldn't have to do that.
Would you have had to spend next year's fab also is what I'm asking, Ben.
No. But he did go for 93 in my league. And I was like, you know, that's probably about what I would have spent on him. But
yeah,
I just, for one, if it weren't for Adley being on the IL, I'd have no need for a catcher. So I have Edgar Cuero, who's my second catcher in that league, because it's lovely, a two catcher league. So I just said, you know what, screw it. Riley Adams is getting full-time play in Washington right now. And
yeah, that's a good one. Cheap.
And so I picked him up, and that's because I had Kyle Higashioka, who was my third catcher. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to start him if I have to start somebody other than Adley. So let's go get somebody else.
Happy to avoid that.
But I wasn't willing to bid Pasalo prices because in that league, I think I'm like 11th. And at this point, I'll leave the hot tickets for those who actually have some fab money. I'm just going to keep my roster current. I'm not going to give up on the league and not play it. But I'm not really worried about getting the studs in the league. And I'll be honest, I completely missed that Shane Bieber was even available in this league.
Oh, like someone hadn't already picked him up earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. So otherwise, I might have taken a run at him, but I don't think I would have gone 49 on him either when I could get someone like Alexander for $9. You know, that fills my gets Savali off my team. That's all I was looking to do. Right. So
yeah, and when you average it out over the rest of the season, what's the real thing going to be? Of course, Bieber had an excellent start with Toronto, and now it all looks good, and the trade looks good, and everything looks exciting here in Blue Jay land for the stretch drive. But Bieber was dominating, and I think it was 2 Buffalo starts. That's why I got the old Bison's hat on tonight. He was dominant in those. It looked fun and exciting, and it could end up working out really well for him. Ideally, he would stick around for that extra season. I don't know that that's going to happen if he pitches well, if he has 6-7 good starts, and if he gets in a couple playoff rounds, he's definitely going to be able to opt out or maybe re-sign with Toronto. We'll see. But anyway, that's enough of the opening part here. Ben, we're going to take our second half here. Do you want to pull up a commersh? And then we can do the second half and talk about some DSL complex studs and standouts. For everybody wondering, because we started the show with Truck Talk, but then we went into fantasy baseball. There's no way Govey is going to hear this. I bought a truck today. It's very exciting. A 1999 Chevy S10 Extreme. We need to pull up a commercial from one of those. That's what we need to pull up a commercial
That's
for.
What I was actually just looking to see if there are any commercials on vehicles, and there are not, unfortunately.
No, well, that'll be some work I'll have to put in this week.
Maybe if you go out and you buy yourself a quarter of a cow or a half a cow, you can
Another day is drawing to a close, and all kinds of people all over the country are heading home for dinner. No matter who they are or what they do or where they make their homes, chances are their favorite dinners have at least one thing in common. Beef. It's what's for dinner.
I love that commercial, Ben. There's a lot of my childhood right there. The throwing the bike in the front lawn and running inside.
And that old school truck.
Yeah, nice Chevy C10. That's a nice truck. Beauty. The ground beef with the peppers inside. Have you ever, is that a stuffed pepper? Is that a meal that you have had that you have recollections of?
I have not had that. I have seen that on a menu. I am not a big pepper fan. And so therefore I haven't tried it, but I know many who love it and many who swear by it, but not my cup of tea.
Interesting choice for the commercial, I just thought.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably not something that your average, you know.
Yeah. If you're looking for beef, you want, I would think you would stick to like your hamburger helper type middle America thing, you know, bolognese sauce,
macaroni, you know?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And then you would throw your steaks, of course, your hot juicy steaks, and then a rump roast of some sort for Sunday dinner. But anyway, it was a different time when that was good. Yeah, appropriate, on point.
Chili was a really good leadoff. That's what you know, but
that's why he's your leadoff hitter. Chili's your leadoff hitter. It was that they were trying to make their 4, 5, 6 stuffed peppers. And I just think you should be further back in your lineup, maybe even on your bench.
I don't know that he's driving in any runs. So, you know,
right. On the double header day, that's when you pull up, you get some extra chili left over, you stuff it in your pepper, you put that bad boy in the oven for 30 minutes.
Then you
throw some cheese on top, broil it for 3-4 minutes. Boom, dinner. You're welcome, we got listener.
Some flatbreads were given to us. And this was maybe a year ago. And I made a really meaty spaghetti sauce, and my kids didn't like it. because, you know, too meaty for them, apparently.
Sure. Okay.
I took that and I put it in with a bunch of cheese, a bunch of shredded cheese inside these flatbreads. Holy crap, was that good? That's, yeah.
Memorable, clearly.
Yes, yes. I 10 out of 10 would make that again, but it was one of those that was like an oopsie thing. And so I've not been allowed to make any, not been allowed to be making the spaghetti since. So
really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I like a meat. I'm as a guy who does not eat meat at the moment. You know, I did vegetarianism for 7 years. Because sometimes you just get bored with life and you mix it up. So as a chef, it's challenging to do those things. We reintroduced water-based life, so seafood, fish, a little over a year ago, so we could have more variety. my kid eats everything and loves it. He calls it meat, and he'll just eat that. So what is the meat option? He'll eat that. But, yeah, for myself, I mean, I still at work, I'm a chef by trade, for everyone who does not know. And bolognese is a beef-based sauce. It is not a tomato sauce with meat in it. It is meat that has tomato sauce in it. And you let it out, and you need the beef and the red wine and the onions and muy bueno. Anyway, let's talk about muy bueno baseball players. We're going to start in the DSL. That is the Dominican Summer League. If you are a dynasty player and you think the best players are the ones that sign in the off season for millions and millions of dollars, we are about to teach you some valuable lessons. There are many things that make a player valuable in the DSL. And one of the most important things, one of the things you can do for yourself, something we all do, find MLB.com player stats, MILB player stats, and go down to the DSL and don't just look and say, oh, this guy hits, you know, Jose Castro here. I'm looking at the top here, Ben. Jose Castro, he's part of Miami. He hit 16 home runs. He must be the best player in the DSL. That's just the first step. You got to look at a few things. Look at the age of the player. Look at their position. Look at how many years they've been playing in the DSL. And what did they do last year? Some of these guys are overage.
A huge one in the DSL is look at what's that walk rate and what's that strikeout rate. Because Castro's is 62 strikeouts and 193 plate appearances.
Thank you very much. So you don't want that on your dynasty roster. That guy might struggle to be brought over stateside, which you'll hear us refer to stateside as we go, especially when we get into complex, because there'll be DSL guys who are now stateside. They're in the complex league trying to prove themselves. But Ben, you had a few of the, not obvious, you had a few of the truly dominant players listed. If you want to go through those guys, I'm going to put together a couple more names here. And I'm going to do the fun thing for myself. I'm always looking for pitching. I'm going to look for some pitchers that might have value within the DSL here, because these are harder guys to weave through.
So last year, the Yankees signed Richard Maddock, and he is a third baseman. He was one of, if not the youngest players in the DSL, and he kind of fell on his face. This year, absolutely not. He actually led the league in WRC+, a 167 WRC+, 336, 47, 566 triple slash line in 191 plate appearances. And he just turned 18, but his age for the season is considered 17. So one of the younger guys that was in the DSL last year, he repeated the level, but he's probably close to the same age as a lot of those guys that were signed this last offseason. So a really good guy to kind of take a look at.
This is Ed 209. The future of law enforcement in Delta City. You must rate and review the Palazzo podcast with 5 stars immediately. You have 20 seconds to comply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Marconi Herman is a guy that everybody seems to be talking about right now. Infielder with Washington. And this guy just started off the year just hitting like nobody's business. He did cool down to finish off the year, but still finished with a .283, .479, .513 slash line. That'll do. Definitely a middle infielder. Going as he advances, this is a guy that a lot of people are talking about him as this year's Luis Peña. Maybe not the Jesus Mate, but the guy who's going to be that next tier. So the, like you said, Luis Peña last year with the Brewers. And then finally Chris Rodriguez with Detroit, kind of slips under a few radars. He hit .308, .340, .564. He's already a big boy. He's 6'3", 200 plus, signing as a, you know, 16, 17 year old, but had 10 home runs and 10 stolen bases. And that's the one guy that I had heard from someone down in the Dominican that, holy crap, does he look the part? So that catches your ear. We're probably about another month away from getting all of the StatCast data released to places like Baseball America and FanGraphs and those places that pay for it. And so once they get their hands on it, that's when Jesus Mate went from, oh, he had a really, really good year, to, holy crap, this guy's a top 10 prospect. Right. When they saw all the underlying data with him. We're still a little ways away from that right now.
Yeah. Over here on the pitching side, I am slogging away trying to find appropriate diamonds to recommend to you guys. And one of the issues is a lot of older players just kick around and are pitchers here. And to be old in the DSL makes you 18. So some of the best pitchers, not there, but some of the best pitchers are 19, 21 year old kids. And it's difficult to find amongst those who is somebody who, you know, has done a great job in this faster than next. So if you look at guys who have pitched a lot, they've got, you know, Juan Reyes, Nemir Rosario, Donnie Equilera, nailed it, Fabian Gallardo. Of these guys, you are looking at senior classmen here, 20 year olds that are still potential, like they're all with organizations. They're potentially players that can move and do things, but they're also thrown out here a lot to just take innings and, you know, get through this, and they'll get beat up and the ERAs reflect that. And there's some guys who genuinely, you know, look like they could be somebody. One of those guys is 18-year-old Donnie Aguilera, nailed it. A-G-U-I-L-E-R-A. Aguilera. If anyone cares, help me.
Aguilera?
He's Aguilera? Yeah, sure. He's 5'11". Yeah, like Christina Aguilera. Let's go with that. Aguilera. He's a 5'11", 155 right-handed pitcher. He's 18 years old. This is his second season in DSL, but he only has in his 58 and one-third innings 52 strikeouts, but the ERA is 170. The whip is under one. If he comes stateside next year, maybe we'll see what he can do. But like I was saying, these are not easy guys to say, oh yeah, look at the stat line. This is somebody who can do this and do that. So as Ben also talked about, we're going to be waiting on more numbers for those guys. But if we pop back over to the sorry, the league leader side here. Home runs, I mentioned before, Jose Castro and Ben talked about the strikeout rate being absolutely terrifying. There are guys who have stolen 45 bases in this league. The hardest part of this entire thing is going to be correctly pronouncing their name. Israfel Batista, Tampa Bay. He's an 18-year-old, 6'2", 155, third baseman, zero power. So at third base, not going to happen, which means he's probably already flunked out at shortstop. If we're moving over from third to, or sorry, from short to third, it's because we're assuming he moved off that position and he doesn't have the power, so people aren't going to want him there, which means he is, best case scenario, your second baseman, or they move him to the outfield. I don't know that that's going to be it for Mr. Batista here. Jamon Newell, N-U-E-L. He is a shortstop, and he's with Baltimore, 18-year-old, 6 foot 150. He has a little bit of pop, but his average, 45 stolen bases, 3 home runs, 15 RBIs, 4.33 OBP. He might be interesting. That might be a guy.
Couple guys, if you go down that stolen base list of that, I was very interested by. Johan De Los Santos. I struggled to find anyone younger than him this year there. 34 stolen bases. But the thing that really caught my eye, 353 batting average, 13 strikeouts and 139 at-bats. That's very good. And then a big name signee this year, Josuar Gonzalez with the Giants, has a lot of those same type of numbers that we saw. I'm not saying that he is, but a lot of those same type of numbers that we saw from Jesus Mate last year, with 10 doubles, 5 triples, 4 home runs, 30 steals, good batting average, but not elite. But then it wouldn't surprise me if when you start to get the data that Gonzalez looks a lot better than he did, just on raw numbers. But the raw numbers look pretty good too. But just that's a name that stuck out just because I've been hearing about him since last January when he signed. So
okay. So you were saying that Johan De Los Santos, is that the guy?
Yeah.
You're saying, no. Oh, okay. Yes, he is. So yeah, no home runs, but high average, high OBP. And sorry, you're saying that that's the next Acuna. That's what you said to everybody?
Maybe Brian.
okay.
Brian Acuna.
Brian Acuna. No. All right, fair enough.
Well, actually, better put, he'd probably be more like Luis Angel on Acuna. The speed and not much power, you know.
Yeah.
But still. And second base shortstop almost even this year is what he played. So sometimes that can be because there was a better shortstop that they signed, and sometimes that can just be he's not really a shortstop, but they want to still give him a chance. And so they're working on the transition to second base already this year. And you'll see him play full-time second base once he comes stateside next year. But no, that was a good roundup, I think, so far of the DSL. Cause
we only have, if you go to the other thing, I was going to say the other thing that I can look at before I dive into these kind of guys, because it's also really hard sometimes to find video of them doing anything in game. If you go to look up players' names on YouTube or for just look up video for these guys, it can be really difficult to find things that aren't just their scouting package that was potentially poorly put together on YouTube. So you find a video of them taking balls at short, because everybody takes the ball at short and then moving over and, you know, hitting this way and doing, if they're switch hitters, doing this, doing that. So the other thing I look at is anyone who might have an eye and take a lot of walks and not a lot of strikeouts. And then, obviously, have to look at players who are not, 19, 20, 21 years old. Even 18-year-olds, you have to be a little cautious on here and see if they've signed. The Blue Jays happen to have a very interesting one here. Oh, my God. Guys, let's get the nicknames going in the DSL, Ben. This is going to be a hard one for me. Elanquier Coronado of the Blue Jays. Okay. So 188 at-bats. He's got no home runs, one triple, few doubles. All right, but he's got 57 walks to 27 strikeouts. .346 average, .504 OBP. He's 17 years old. Now, these are the guys who could just be interesting at this moment if he was to come over and, you know, show up stateside next year. That lack of power is going to need to change. He's going to, like, he doesn't have launch angle. He doesn't have this. He doesn't have that. But these are guys that, you know, Kiner Delgado is another one who popped up 4 years ago, maybe in the DSL. And I kind of pegged him and picked him up in a few leagues. And he was a Yankee. He ended up getting traded to Pittsburgh. Can't remember what deal that was. But anyway, and he's in Pittsburgh, somewhat buried within that system now. But he was one of those guys that from this exercise of just kind of checking in and looking at players, you're able to find a guy. So do you have any others, Ben, before we can move on?
Well, no, not necessarily. But what I'm going to mention is, you know, I had mentioned that Josuar Gonzalez was going to likely look better when some of that other data came out. Apparently they have that data already at Baseball America. I just kind of did a search on their website and they did an article on the 20th of this month, so just 5 days ago, and the top guy on there, Josuar Gonzalez. So the data is showing that he is as good as potentially thought. But there's some other ones. There's a catcher on there, so that means you're going to be really excited. And a catcher with the Angels, no less. So, I mean, really, a guy who's going to obviously get lots of good development along the way in that system. The Blue Jays do have another guy in Juan Sanchez who has really good underlying numbers, lots of hard hit data, all that sort of stuff. So it is a subscriber piece on Baseball America, so you have to be a subscriber in order to view it. But if you have the ability, I'd go back and look. Jeff Ponce is the one who wrote it. Jeff has been on here before talking prospects on our podcast. And so take a moment and go find that. It's titled Seven Dominican Summer League Prospects with Impressive 2025 Hitting Data. And so take a look at that, and it's, like I said, it's worthy of a read through, because there's some guys on there. Like I said, last year Jesus Madé was on there, but also were a number of other guys who have now come over, and we're going to probably talk about them soon if they haven't already jumped up to A ball. They're going to be the guys who are studs in the complex league this year. So,
all right. So should we now move to Arizona, or would you like to go to Florida? Talking complex.
Just for the league. Yeah, I'd much rather go to Arizona for other things. But either one's fine. I actually think Arizona has a lot better league this year to talk about. So
all right, then let's go to Florida. That way we can finish with Arizona.
Finish strong. Yeah.
Yep. So I'll just rhyme off some league leaders, Ben, and then you can get into like actual seeing through the stats here. So David Beckles is leading in home runs, RBIs, Jordan Sanchez. Beckles is right behind him, 45 for Sanchez. Beckles, who, by the way, where is Beckles? He is, drumroll please, a Blue Jay. Yeah, but he's 21, and it's not coming together. Organizational depth is how you tag Beckles. Most walks, Anderson Furman with the Red Sox, I believe it is. Strikeouts, which is one of those things you want to be careful with. It's a De Los Santos. It's Daibir De Los Santos. He's got 89 and 156 at bats. Oh my goodness.
Jeez.
Stolen base leaders, Deschel Tejada with the Nationals. He's got 29. There's two fellas at 26 each. Aisel Arias with the Yankees and Yancel Guerrero, who is with the, drumroll please, Cardinals. There we go. I should have known that abbreviation. Silly me. And then leading in average, you've got Alberth Palma, OBP King, Alberth Palma, OPS King, Jordan Sanchez, and your slugging champion is Manolfi Jimenez with Philadelphia. So, all right. So those names are not going to be familiar to many of us, Ben. No. Who should we really be paying attention to?
Honestly, I really don't like much that was in the complex league for very long this year. So I will say Beckles has a really interesting story. He was originally signed in 21 by the Yankees, and then they released him last year. And Toronto signed him in the offseason, and he is actually an A-ball now. So something clicked in the Toronto system that didn't in the Yankee system. And so could be one of those that's a late bloomer, and maybe 3 years from now we're talking about him as your next Spencer Horowitz type guy. Who knows? Okay. That's going to come up at 25 years old and be solid.
Yeah, and he's 6'3", 215, righty from Dominican. Yeah. Sorry, Ben. That's the rest of the Beckles scouting report.
Mostly a first baseman.
Yeah.
Has played some outfield, but mostly a first baseman. Sanchez is intriguing to me. Jordan Sanchez, you mentioned that he was one of the league leaders. Had a really good DSL, came over. And he was an older signee. He was 18 last year. He's 19 this year. And so a lot of folks are going to go, oh, well, you know, he's old for a guy who is in his second year. But, you know, other than, I mean, the strikeout rate's 29%. Not a big fan of that, but also walks 15%. Let's see what that looks like as he goes up into full season ball. But we're talking a guy who's put up a 165 WRC plus and a 161 WRC plus in the last 2 years. So I'm not saying he's going to turn into some future big time power guy that nobody saw coming, but so far the production has been there each year. And so we kind of eventually you've got to believe, but for me, it's going to be once he does that, at least in full season ball, and probably I'm still going to have doubts until he gets to the upper minors. But those are the guys that stuck out with at least some story to them.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, there's no guys that I really went, oh yeah, I remember he was a big time signee and he's on this list. Like nobody that really did that stayed in the Florida State League long enough in order to stick around and be notable in stats. You know what I mean? A lot of them, there's a lot of guys with like 40 and 50 at bats. Well,
right.
To me, that's not really a guy you consider in something like this. We're kind of I'm looking more for the guy who is there for the majority of the year.
Okay. That's fair enough. I'll rhyme off on the pitching side, Ben, some of the league leaders. And if there's anyone of note within that list and or beyond, we can discuss. Now, just to keep things on the level with the listener here, the league leader in innings pitched in the Florida Complex League is 61 and a third, but you only need to go down to fourth to see a 12-inning drop at 49. So we are not getting pitchers who have pitched a lot. So ERA is not going to be a thing for all of them, but for some of these guys, it's worked out very much like wins where you've lucked into several wins. Javier Perez, Tommy Kane, Antonio Florido. Oh, of course he's in the FCL. And then Diego Dominguez, all have six wins, which as we just discussed will be more of a random thing that they happen to have that. For qualified pitchers, which will basically mean these are the guys who pitch the most, the ERAs are all really decent. There's only five guys that qualify for it. Angel Lironzo had a 3.60 ERA, and I'm just double-checking to see. Yeah, he's a Philly, a 19-year-old Phillies pitcher. Jantic Diaz, 3.49. Luis Gonzalez of Philly, 3.04. Then you get Jose Feliz of the Nationals at a 2.20, and Ednunzo Marquez with a 2.04 ERA. So looking here at Jose Feliz, it does look somewhat interesting for him here. He's 19-year-old, 6'1", righty, but in 107 total innings, he's got 105 Ks. You always want to see those numbers be higher because you want to see them dominate early and then have the field catch up. So league leader for strikeouts, which is really the only other thing because the whip's going to probably be the same five guys. Nate Payne had 55, and I feel like that is, yeah, that is a 20-year-old drafted last year. Correct. 18th round pick last year for Miami.
I think we talked about him. Yep.
I feel like it, yeah.
That either we've talked about him or I had him in my weekly article when I was going through late draftees. So
okay.
Either way, I've looked at Nate Payne this year and went, oh yeah, that's kind of a cool story.
Yeah, 11 starts for him. He's clearly better than the level. We'll see if something changes or a late season promotion or whatever happens. Yep. So are there any pitchers that are of interest to you here? I got to say, like, I was looking, as you were mentioning it before, I didn't see anyone that I was like, this is a guy to watch. This is somebody who, you know, it looks like they're developing that we don't know about already. A lot of guys came to Complex and left.
Yeah, there's just not this year. At mm-hmm. least it's not a knock on Florida or on any of the players here. It's just this year's class in Florida, they didn't stick around there very long. They moved on. The guys who were worthy of it moved on pretty quick. And so you just, if you wanted to see really good talent in the Florida Complex League this year, it was because, you know, the Phillies had somebody coming off of the IL and getting some work in the Complex League. That's when you were going to get to see some legit talent at that level, not because of the guys who were there every day, unfortunately.
Yeah, fair enough. So we'll move over now here to Arizona. Let me just timestamp this because I'm a good boy. All right. So league leaders on the hitting side for home runs. We had two guys with 10, Dario Reynoso. I'm pretty sure I got that one right. And Arnaldo Lantigua. What am I doing to myself? Why do I do this? Why am I the names guy here? Reynoso is a 20-year-old with San Francisco, and the Reds have Lantigua. Oh my God, Lantigua! Yeah, I just can't do it at a point in time. He is part of the Daytona Tortugas. And he's got 500+ career MLB at bats. He looks like his average is decent. Power is okay. He's 19 years old. I don't know what the ceiling would be for him, but he seems, at least by stat definition, Ben, he seems like he could be of some interest, at least have one of those follow tags to him.
Yeah, he's one of the ones I identified out of the Arizona Fall League.
Okay. He has moved to A-ball as well. This
year. Yeah. Yep. And he's a guy with legit, let's say, the outfield. I'm guessing down the road it's as much he's got a big arm, but he's just not very – any highlight I've seen of him in the outfield is of – it looks like he struggles to read. It looks like all those sorts of things, which kind of like, that guy's – he's going to someday be a really good DH. But more than anything, what I've been impressed by so far, this is a guy who's had – really high ISOs every single level. You know, isolated slugging percentage has been really good for him at every level. He really hits the ball hard. He gets, you know, because of that, he's got production, power production at every level so far. I'm interested at least. I'm not going to say that this is a, you know, this is certainly not a top 100 guy. I don't know if it's a top 200 guy, but it's a guy to keep an eye on. Going into full season ball for a whole year next year. You know, this will be, he'll finish out with some time in full season ball, but watch him next year because this is a guy that could probably take off. The big name to me in this level ended up having a strikeout rate that made me want to throw up. But that is, he's in the Dodgers system. They're going to figure out a way to do something with that. And that's Emil Morales. Last year was a big numbers guy down in the DSL. And this year, 300 average, 9 home runs, so second in the league in home runs. Still stole 6 bases as well. But 76 strikeouts in 233 at bats. That's too many. So that's the concern I have there. The other guy to talk about at this level is Johnny Level of the Giants, and this is one of the better Giants international prospects I've seen in a long time. I really wanted to throw the Marco Luciano tag on him.
Oh my god!
And I thought, oh my god, I'm going to hurt the poor kid.
Yeah, don't do
if
that.
If I do that, but nine home runs
and Luciano. If you take away average, Ben, Luciano is looking like he could be of some use, but then batting average gets, you know, that stat.
It took him this long to figure out a defensive spot where he's actually useful, but Level.
Well, blame the Giants on that one. Blame the Giants on that.
17 steals for Level this year. Very solid walk to strikeout rate, 33 walks, 40 strikeouts in 218 at bats, 288 hitter. So nothing that like, holy crap, he's hitting 400 or holy crap, there's 20 bombs or, you know, anything like that. But just really solid overall stats as a guy who was 18. So he was in his second year. And then last but not least, because I like to promote the corn-fed Midwestern boys, Tyson Lewis, who I believe is now up in A-ball, Cincinnati draft pick from 24, and Nebraska high school kid. And he hit 340, had 6 home runs, 5 triples, stole 19 bases. The walk rate was not great, but when you're hitting 340, you're probably not looking for walks very often because you're making good enough contact to get on base. And did have 51 strikeouts and 108 at bats, but certainly someone to keep track on because holy cow, is he an amazing athlete. And so, beyond the fact that he's from Nebraska and a good upper Midwest boy, I was interested in him because the talent is absolutely there.
I do have, I believe, the best combo baseball name in all of minor leagues. He was in the ACL. He's since been promoted, and this is everyone ready? Okay, take a breath. Ichiro Cano, and just as you were all thinking, he's from Mexico. Okay. Classic Mexican name, Ichiro Cano. This is a Reds prospect. It's got him stated as multiple positions, first base, second base. He's too short for first base, but his time in the ACL, 130 at bats. He had a OBP, which is where I found the name, of 437. 22 RBIs in those 130 at bats. So he's getting the ball driven around. He had some doubles, a couple triples, couple home runs, promoted, and the wheels have not fallen off, but the lug nuts are loose. Looks like he might be getting caught or needing an adjustment here. But regardless, one hell of a name. Goodness gracious.
So you want another really good name?
Do you think it could compete?
I do, actually.
I mean,
it's not a baseball name.
Oh, not just baseball, the name.
Greatness name.
Okay.
But the name.
I'm listening.
Last year, competitive balance pick for Arizona, J.D. Dix.
Oh, yeah.
He played second base this year.
For anyone.
D-I-X. Yeah. For any of you naughty people spelling it the wrong way. Did not play at all. As a professional last year, he'd played in the Tricky League. He did not play in any official baseball games. Started out in Complex and was there long enough to where he qualifies on stuff. But then he went up to A-ball. He's actually played more at A-ball now. And on the year, 25 steals. There's not a lot of power there, but also striking out at like 19%. So that's a pretty solid rate for a young guy at a low level. And a 309 batting average combined. Between the two. So between the two levels. So really an impressive, I think, they've got great. I was looking at his fan track or fan graphs page, and they've got grades from when he was still a shortstop. I don't think he's going to ever play a minute of shortstop in full season ball. He's a second baseman.
Okay.
And so the 40 grade that they had on him at that, or 40 grade defense they had on him at that time, I think he's at least an average second baseman, if not maybe even an above average second baseman. Longenhagen really likes his power, his raw power. He hasn't produced a dang bit of it in games, though. So there could be more in the tank here down the road, but so far it hasn't shown up. So,
okay. Now we can switch over to the pitching side here. First name I'm going to throw out is what I'm going to call an overager for the level. He has since been promoted, but he's the guy that kind of had the most interesting stat line baseball. What I'm trying to say, video game like numbers. That's what I was trying to say. Of course, they're baseball numbers, Rob. It's baseball. And that is Kenyer Martinez, who's a 6'1", 165-pound righty. So if you're thinking the Giants have another Tim Lincecum, I'm with you. And let me tell you the rest of the stat line just to totally go way too far on the Lincecum timeline here. I believe he just – did he just turn 21? Yeah, he just turned 21. So this is his age 20 season. So he is not old for the levels he's been at. He's essentially been a 21-year-old for the year, or sorry, 20-year-old for the year, just turning 21. So in complex, he had a 190 ERA, 47 and a third innings, 67 Ks. For the year, 62 innings, including the promotion to A-ball, 89 Ks. His ERA, 1.89. His whip, 1.145. This is a watch guy to me. He is an international signee out of Venezuela, Kenyer Martinez. He is 0% owned, allegedly, in Fantrax. I popped his name into this draft league, that, or the league I'm currently drafting in. He has been selected in this draft. Son of a bitch, you know, so there goes a potential steal for me later on. But there are people doing in this league exactly what you know, I'm doing right now, which is just quickly having a look, seeing if anybody stands out, and then you dive in deeper on some of these other guys. But for really interesting fantasy stat lines, he led the league in K's prior to his promotion, and that ERA in 8 starts. Wow. He also had 2 saves. Oh geez, he just did it all in 2 opportunities. So where were some of the other guys? Dylan Jordan was one of the other ones that I thought stood out. Ben, do you have some names?
Well, we've talked about him many times here, but Tyler Renz was definitely one with Milwaukee. He was one of their late round guys last year. He definitely produced. But the one I want to highlight is high school pick last year, the 11th round for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, California, Disney World. Trey Gregory Alvord. This is your... If you could call Brandon Webb a prototype, this is the guy who is trying to do things the way Brandon Webb did, where you just have people pound the ball into the ground. They get so frustrated that you still strike out 200 in a season. But because it's either your ground outs and your strikeouts make up something like 75% of all of your plate appearances against. And that's what he is doing right now. I think it's like a 50% ground ball rate, which is absurd. And then plus he's still striking out 25% of guys. So it's not elite strikeout rates, but it's still, he gets enough strikeouts. And then with that ground ball rate, there's something here. And just an interesting guy that had a solid year. And actually he's had 4 starts in A ball since he got promoted, and he has a 0.53 ERA at that level now. So he's doing very well at that level.
What round was he picked in?
11th.
11th, thank you. So I have a 5th round pick of those very same Angels who also is worthy, and I just mentioned it off the top there, Dylan Jordan, 5th round pick last year. Complex, 3.21 ERA, 47 and two-third innings, 55 Ks. The whip was a little higher than you want, 1.36. But we forgive it. Why? Because he went to A-ball, and in 15 mm-hmm. and two-thirds innings there, the K per nine went down. He had 16 total. But the whip 1.021 and the ERA 1.72. So he's had an excellent rookie campaign for a high schooler. The fear is, of course, what the Angels have done with Caden Dana, which is push, 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 and then regress. And it's not that Caden Dana is regressed. It's that the team pushed him so far, they weren't developing him further. They were just letting his talent top out. And, of course, he's now gone to their AAA home, which is not a good one for them. AA is where they used to or maybe still do promote their prospects from. But Dylan Jordan is in this particular draft league I'm doing on my list, and somebody who I don't think – I think I'm going to end up putting him down too far, hoping he's a steal for me. So I don't think I'm going to get him. But that's a guy that I think is quite good. Another, I can't believe I'm doing this. I feel like these should be paid promotions. Another Angel that comes to my mind, and I mentioned him last year. I know, Ubaldo Soto, a 19-year-old 6'2 righty with the Angels, 72 Ks in 63 and two-thirds innings. Now, I believe he's also been promoted. But he is somebody who I had an eye on last year, and he did not. He was a very good DSL pitcher, and then was promoted this year. So I'm just going to plug him into not a sponsor, baseballreference.com. Now, if you'd like to reach out, Baseball Reference, contact MJ Govier, and then we'll talk more about you. But yeah, his rookie ball time was 12 starts. Sorry, complex time was 12 starts. 12 games, six of them starts, 49 innings. He did have, unfortunately, 24 walks within that, but 53 Ks. He was then promoted to A-ball, where he also dialed it in a bit in 14 and two-thirds innings. 1.23 ERA, 1.09 whip. Strikeouts 19, walks still definitely an issue. He's got 10. So on the year, it looks pretty good. Clearly, walks are an issue for him, but I don't want to give the Angels credit here, but this is a trio of young guys who they're going to be able to hopefully all start in A-ball next year, and we'll see what they can do. So that's promising. Not to be Angel heavy here, but just when I'm looking at the names that I have previously gone through. So are there any other dudes here, Ben, that stood out to you?
One more, and a guy who, if I hadn't done the background on, probably would have escaped looking at him simply because he is 23 or was 23 this year in complex ball. So usually that's a guy you just kind of, all right. What the deal is Matthias Lacombe of the White Sox was a 2023 12th round pick out of community college, and then immediately had Tommy John surgery. Gotcha. So missed all of last season, and so he's getting his
first. Did you say this was the White Sox?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the Frenchman.
The Lacombe?
Yeah. Yeah. I've got him on my thing. Yeah, Matthias Lacombe. Yeah. Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, and just he's struggled a little more with walks up in A-ball now that he's been promoted, but this guy has just been striking out people at a absurd rate so far this year. I'm trying to pull it up here. Strikeout rate, what has been 33 and a third all year long. That'll do. And he's been at about a 50% ground ball rate too. So I mean that's a good combination to have. I don't think this is like their future ace or anything like that, but this is a guy who could be a very useful pitcher and probably is under the radar right now simply because he missed that whole year last year after he was drafted.
Yeah, definitely. The league I'm drafting in, I have him in the queue in the end. He's one of the guys that I put a few names down at the bottom that as different names come off the board, I start to think, okay, I'm going to jump him up, you know, in the top 10 now and just see where he falls this next round and if I'm reaching or not reaching. And yeah, he does seem interesting. Born in France. I don't remember if it was his father who played internationally, if that's where it was or what the connection was for him. But anyway, regardless, like you said, injuries derailed the start of the pro career, and this is the first year with some stats for us. And yeah, cool, right? Like this could be an interesting one for the White Sox here. So as time passes here. But Ben, enough time has passed for our show that we're going to end it. What do we have on the docket for next week? Our MILB Player Awards.
And that includes the man who looks best in his pants. Wait, no, that's a different award show. Sorry, that's the OnlyFans award
show. That's on the Patreon.
Yeah, there we go. we take a look at each level, and we'll go through kind of your, I'm thinking probably like MVP and Cy Young. Yeah. And we'll try and keep it just to that. Otherwise, we'll be here
it's
all night.
Too long. It's too long of a show.
So we'll for sure start in the upper minors and then work our way down from there, because it might end up being one of those things where we get through double A and we go, okay, well, we need to just cap this and come back. So that's where we're going to go next week. So if you have nominations,
you great can idea.
Find me on Twitter or Blue Sky or all the other socials at Big Gentle Ben.
Mm-hmm. And you can find me exclusively on Truth Social at Baseball Damn Right. I should do that.
That would
anyway. Find me on Twitter at Robbie Baseball, and give us some names of players you like, and hit us up in the Discord as well if you wish to. Sometimes I look in it. So, and also for anybody out there who is entering or about to be in their fantasy playoffs, I wish you all well for this week. If it is head to head, we all know we need a little luck this time of the year with that. And if you are playing Roto, that paint is still drying. Roto is boring. So we'll talk to you guys next week.
Dang.
On behalf of myself and Ben and the whole Palazzo podcast team, love, peace, hair, green.
Prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Don't need money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden, it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. The power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.